Bridget, good morning.
Good morning, Miriam.
You got some good and bad news for us, yeah?
Yeah, or let's just say good. A little update. You were looking for an update on Lavinier's work at the moment. So as we were just speaking, the kind of hot topic at the moment is land protection. So we've been working on that at two levels, kind of an immediate level to try and stop what's happening at the moment, and then at another level to try and legally protect Oroville. So what's been happening in the last couple of days, Sarrow and Mr. Doshi has had a meeting with the Secretary of Urban and Housing Development in Chennai. That happened on Tuesday, to try and get his support really for the... Oroville has been gazetted at central government to be the planning authority for all of the master plan area, but at state level it's not fully recognised yet. So there's a lot of work being done at the moment to try and get that established. On the particular sites that are being threatened at the moment, we have constant contact with the central town and planning authority department in Chennai and the local district office here in Vilippuram as well. And thanks to their cooperation, it's been possible to stop the work of the hotel development in the Dana site. That was because of an issue by the a document issued by the district town and country planning that actually stopped that in Vilippuram. So the TDC have now sent notice to the other four parties that basically have unauthorised development here in the master plan area, and that we intend to follow up with the local authorities in a similar way. And one of those, as we know, is with a local Tamil Oroviliyan on the Vikas Radial, which is quite difficult because that's the residential zone area, and that single house that's been built at the moment is a site that could, you know, provide housing for 50 or 100 people. So in that particular case, the Oroville Council, the Working Committee and Lavinier have had a meeting with the person in question. The issue there seems to be that it's his wife is not a member of Oroville and his wife's family own the land. But, yeah, there's been quite a detailed meeting there where basically the meeting discussed, you know, what happens or what we step into when we step into Oroville. And they were trying to actually appeal to him as an Orovillian to reconsider, but also we're actually looking at trying to take the legal path on that.
Can I just ask you something? Within the Tamil Nadu, anybody can just start building somewhere, or they don't have any town planning regulations?
They do have town planning regulations, and normally the Panchayat would be quite actively involved in that as well in the collector's office. So that is normally there. But I don't know, I mean, yeah, I'm not kind of that, I don't have that many details on it, but there is a system there that people normally have to go through. But like a lot that happens around us here, there's a lot of illegal development as well. And I suppose because there's, it's always a difficulty in India, enforcement as well, you know. So I think there's actually people try a lot of illegal development as well. And because of corruption, you know, at times people get away with it.
So basically these illegal constructions, they're illegal on two sites, yeah? On the panchayats and on Town Development Council, most likely.
Sorry, just repeat that again?
I believe that those illegal constructions or unauthorized constructions we got in within the master plan, they are illegal on two sides, towards the panchayat and towards the town planning, town development council.
Yeah, you see, at the moment we're in this grey area where in Delhi the central government have gazetted Oroville as the planning authority for, or the foundation office as the planning authority under Town Development Council for this area. But when it came to state government, they haven't fully recognised it yet. So we're in this bit of currently in this limbo land. And I think up to a number of years ago, Oroville always felt that it had the protection of the government, and there wasn't. We didn't see encroachment on the land. And then when the Swami's College came, from my memory, that was the first of these illegal developments, and it's kind of snowballing after that. So so we have this sanction from central government, but at the moment we don't have it from state government, and that's what's actively being pursued by all of the working groups at the moment. So we're, when developments happened, like in Dana, we, you know, we're rapidly trying to go to the Town and Country Development Office to seek their support, which they've given in that. But also the other stage is actually to get legal verification for this gazetting. So in that, TDC are actually working quite actively in that at the moment to get this legal sanctification. But there is actually, it's not so easy because there are different options. And one of the options is that there would be a council that would actually be set up that wouldn't just be Oroville and Foundation representatives, that it might include some of the local panchayats as well, which may not always be, depending who's in seat, may not always be the best for Oroville. So what we're actually looking at the moment, we have a lawyer working on it at the moment, and basically as an interim proposal, we actually have decided to send a letter to the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development asking for a go. This was already issued in 2003, that would make it mandatory for the local planning authorities to ask for an NOC, which is a non-objection certificate from the foundation. So this was something that we had, that was given to us in 2003, but has maybe is a little bit latent at the moment. So we're asking for that to be republished, so that that would mean that anybody that would be would want to build in the area would have to go to the foundation office to get a notice to say we don't object to this. So that's what's actually been actively pursued by us at the moment. And yeah, and Sarah, as I say, and Mr. Doshi have had a meeting this Tuesday, and there have been other meetings. Sarah also had a meeting with the same person 2 weeks ago as well. So yeah, so that we're trying to look at it from those two angles, basically trying to get a statutory structure in place, and then also for the developments that are there at the moment, trying to urgently just get those stopped.
These people who are under construction, do I really in need of the housings?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the development beside Dana was an investment. It was a hotel, so
that's a money issue.
That's a developer. Yeah. It's yeah.
And but as far as we know, that's two constructions in Vikas and opposite of Matrimandir. These people don't have house issues. Yeah, they have houses.
You know, I don't clearly know that question either, but I presume they do. I mean, as I said, it's an Oravillian that is on the corner there in Vickers, so I presume they do. They've been in Oroville a long time. I presume they do have housing, but yeah, I should have
so
that.
So it's another money issue, yeah? More or less.
I suppose it is. It's investment, yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. Our conscience is somewhere.
Hmm?
Our conscience is somewhere.
I suppose we really, I think in many ways we have to take a quantum leap into something else in Oroville, and in many ways we're being at the moment there's lots of threats to Oroville. There's all of this encroachment financially in Oroville. The economy is not doing so well at the moment. The manufacturing units are finding it very difficult. Oroville on a monthly basis is spending a little bit more than it's actually taking in. So it's like on lots of levels we have to, I think, you know, step into something else and maybe step in more to the charter and the vision of Oroville, you know. That, and maybe with all of these threats, somehow we'll be forced to do that. I don't know. The other areas we're working on at the moment in Lavenir is the housing and residential zone area. Again, housing is a burning issue for all of us. And there's a residential zone plan being finalised at the moment for the area 1 and 2. This bit was worked on over a year's period by some members of Lavenir, some of our resource people, and also some architects in the area. It came out of participatory study. They've identified And they're actually doing a study for projecting for 5,000 people over the next couple of years, a population of 5,000 people. They started off looking at the footprint of the galaxy, looking at the ground realities, where our buildings are at the moment, what the current density is, where the water is, what's the topography of the area. And they've come up with a residential zone plan where we can now really very fast identify when housing projects come into Lavenir where they should go, where is the best spot actually for them. And we have two projects that are just being cleared at the moment, the Green Casbah, Satprens project, that's with the FAMC at the moment, and Kalpana project, which is Satyakam's and Davis Meter's project. So both of those will be ready to go fairly soon. Mona has also submitted a plan for incremental housing, which is which will be houses with front and back gardens, but more streetscape type of houses. And they'll be incremental, so people will be able to build them in stages. And Maitreya also is in final design plans. So we're hoping over the next couple of months that we'll actually be seeing the start of some serious housing projects that will help alleviate things. We're also at the moment doing for the Greenbelt area. The Greenbelt is another really area that needs a lot of protection. At the moment, we only own 20% of the land in the Greenbelt area. So we're actually doing a study at the moment where we're actually preparing Greenbelt land use regulations, and we're commissioning a survey on the existing land used in the Greenbelt and including private land. So we want to kind of get a clear picture of what type of structures are in the Greenbelt area, who has what. And then we're looking at doing a regional plan with the local authorities, doing a regional planning plan for all of this area. So this would be a working paper for a regional plan. It's been prepared and will be presented to the local authorities. The aim would be to promote a joint exercise for land use and socioeconomic plan over the entire taluk of Vanur, where Orville is located. This should involve the local authorities and the local community-based organisations as well. So to look at, yeah, for the future, you know, how should we actually develop this area? We are also working with Pondicann, who are an NGO based in Pondicherry, and Intact. Intact have been involved in Pondy and many other places in cultural heritage architecture. So there will be the people in Pondicherry who have renovated most of the traditional Tamil houses. And we're doing an integrated exercise with them in regional planning in collaboration with the government of Tamil Nadu and Pondicherry for the wider Pondicherry, Orville, Vilippuram and Cuddalore area. And as a first step to increase cooperation, it was agreed during a recent visit to Orville by the director of TCPO in New Delhi to prepare a joint proposal for a centre for capacity building in the urban-rural integration to be established in Orville as a possible centre for excellence. So we have a lot of, in Orville, we've got a lot of know-how. You know, you've got a lot of units like Satprem's brick making, what Wellpaper are doing with recycled materials, what CSR are doing on alternative energy. And there's an idea to actually establish
like a platform.
Like a platform and a centre where people can be trained as well, not just for Orville, but for the regions around as well. So, yeah, so we're looking at this whole regional planning as well, which is very important for the future as well. Like, I think it's really important that we're not just thinking in terms of developing Orville, but we're actually thinking of how we can co-create the future with our neighbours as well. You know, how we can look at things also like food security and water security. Like, in so many different issues, we're completely interdependent with the bioregion. Yeah. And so we're looking to start kind of planning at that level. So basically that's what's happening. The other major thing that happened this year as well in Lavenir was the establishment of a work allocation team. This was set up basically to look at the bigger projects that are being done in Orville. under Government of India grants. So the Government of India over the last 3 years have been giving substantial amounts of money.
The India pavilions?
I'm speaking particularly at the moment, maybe when the money comes in for development for the international zones and the pavilions and things like that, that will come under this as well. But any project over 2 crore has quite a lot of stipulations it has to abide by for when we're actually getting Government of India money. There has to be very strict tendering procedures. So we've set up a department or a group in Lavanier, which we call the Work Allocation Group. And they're five members representing different areas of function from architecture, finance, project management, survey and work allocation. And basically they look to check all documentation. So for the two main projects at the moment are the Language Lab and Maitreya. They've both projects that have got quite substantial Government of India funding. So the building of those has to be done according to a particular procedure. And so this team would be responsible for checking all the documentation from those sites to check the process of selection of contractors. So when you go into that level of funding from the Indian government, you can't just pick a contractor. You've got to actually go out and get tenders, a competitive tender. So we have that process where we advertise in the local newspapers. Contractors are invited to tender for a process. And it's meant a lot more work and a lot of procedure and stuff, but it will ensure that developments are done in a way that
it's proper,
and there's proper accounting, transparency.
So if the Indian government can be so strict on the national level, why there's no regional level?
You're talking again in planning. Yes, yeah. That's a good question.
No, like,
well, you see, this work we're trying to do now with the Secretary for Urban and Housing Development, if we can get that sanctification, then we will have legality behind us, and then we will be able to, that will be much more power. But this is the problem that we, in India, enforcement is always an issue, as we know. So what happens in Delhi doesn't always
come down.
So that's what we're at this lower level now of state government. We're really trying to get that sanctification so that we can get that protection from Oroville, you know, that we can, you know, legally say we are the planning authority here. You actually have to apply to us and no, that is not in line, or yes, this is in line. So that's what that work is doing at the moment. The other thing is we've done a 5-year development plan for Government of India funding for various things. You mentioned the international zone, that would be one of them. Oroville needs a lot more infrastructure. We're working at the moment, you saw during the cyclone, all of the electrical cables came down with the trees. So now Oroville are looking to put the electricity underground. So if that happens again, So that's been, so we're working on the roads at the moment. The stretch of the Crown Road has been completed to Solar Kitchen, as we know. And then there's another stretch under execution now from the residential zone to the cultural zone. And the paving between Barrett Nevis and Savitri Bhavan, that's been
it's almost done,
done as well. So now what we want to do in stages is to put the infrastructure in underground. So this will be the electrical cables, possibly I think there's ISBN lines going in there for computers and things as well. So that will be the next piece of work we're actually doing. And the completion of this stretch of roads will maybe also mean that we can start seriously looking at public transport as well. Or even things for the moment like shuttle bus services, like more electric vehicles. In the next Government of India request, we put in for a public transport system of electric buses. Mm. So that now we have so much road and the last bits of it being developed, we can actually seriously look at things like that as well, you know, and maybe leave our bikes at home a little bit more.
What about electricity? Because right now we are going through the phase of serious power cuts.
That's right.
Is there any chance that we become completely sustainable?
Well, to answer that question, Tuan is the best man to get in here for an interview because he's working really hard at the moment, again, at government level to try and bring in more sustainable power.
Like windmill?
Like windmills, like solar, like he's really pushing for that at the moment. I know he's had lots of meetings lately, so maybe it would be good to do an interview with him. But now these cuts at the moment, some people would say that they were being cut so much at the moment because there is the talk of another nuclear power station being put in for this region. So
they stop it, no?
Hmm?
Yes, to stop it.
This is the thing. There's been a huge movement against it, and some people would say, and I don't know whether it's true or not, but some people would say that these long power cuts are coming in now.
And an argument to build it.
Yeah. So I think kind of the work that Tuan is doing is very important, and we need to do more of that to try and convince, you know, at government level for a need for more alternative energy. And it's all there. It just needs support, you know. But I think sometimes nuclear is seen as more, you know, it's faster, it's easier, whatever it is. But it will be good for you to interview Tuan on that because he'll give you the latest because he's been doing a lot on that. The other thing we're working on at the moment is the industrial zone. We've done out a layout for an industrial zone area called Mangalam, and we're also working on the Pony Farm area as well to do an industrial plan for that. So at the moment, again, we were talking earlier about the fact that Oroville on a socioeconomic level is struggling at the moment, and we need to encourage more enterprise. So those particular two sites are being looked at from what we can do from a creative way in terms of generating more socioeconomics. And we've got somebody from SEPT University. This is the university that Mr. Doshi has set up. Rakesh, he's working in the office full time with us now, and he's specifically working on the industrial zones. Yeah, so I think that's more or less it. One other nice thing we're doing at the moment, Renu and John are working on a Lavenir web platform. So this will mean that John is going to develop a website for Lavenir where people will be able to have much more online activity with us. So yes. So you'll be able to, for example, fill in your building application online, load maps online. People will be able to see status of building applications, so it'll be much more transparent.
And it would be faster too, yeah?
It'll be much faster, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So that's coming towards finalisation as well. I think John needs about another 3 or 4 months on that, but it will bring much more transparency into the process, and yeah, people in the community will be able to see where things are. Yeah.
The opening hours are still on Wednesdays?
Open
house.
Yes, I think the next one is 2 weeks' time. I'll have to check that. We do that every 2 weeks at 11 on a Wednesday, yeah. Yeah, we'll be publishing it in the news and notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that's about it at the moment.
Yeah. That's a lot. Thank you, Bridget.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks a lot.